All right. Last week, I began this series called At the Movies with Disney Animation, just kind of playing on Disney movies that I enjoy. Some of you don't know, I am a Disney freak. I'm a fanatic about Disney movies. I enjoy watching Disney. And many of their movies, especially their classic movies, had some teaching principles. And I shared with you last week that as Jesus was teaching on the side of Sermon on the Mountain, he'd be teaching, there was a guy scattering seed up on the hill, and he would talk about that guy scattering seed and how the gospel is like the seeds. And he just used everyday experiences. We call them parables in the scripture. Well, I can't be like Jesus and create parables, but I can find insightful things in the movies. And since I enjoy Disney movies, I found some really exciting things that teach us various elements about values and principles that are beneficial. They illustrate what the Bible says. This morning, I want to talk about The Incredibles. Anybody seen the movie The Incredibles? Come on, anybody? All right, I got a few out there. And that's it. I enjoy the movie. But as I go into this, again, I want to emphasize, there's nothing spiritual about Walt Disney. He was a Christian. He belonged to the, what kind of church was he belonged to? I'm trying to remember right now. Congregational church. And it preached God's word and taught God's word. When Disneyland opened, they had an opening prayer. There was a chaplain there that prayed at the opening of Disneyland. And many of his movies has those values in them. But there's one thing this movie doesn't have, and that most movies never concentrate on or never portray in a positive way, and that is God. So as I begin this morning's message, I want to make sure you understand. I'm not saying, well, this is a Christian family, and you're not going to find that in movies. As a matter of fact, most movies portray Christians and God in a derogatory way. You know, most of them do not portray God in a very positive light and convey that idea. So I wanted to kind of set the stage for this one by telling you that one of the key ingredients to a family is God. And what's interesting is as I did research and as I looked through various websites, it's really funny how political correctness doesn't let the government or the organizations that they set up speak the truth. There was this national, not a survey, but a national study on what makes happy, healthy families. It was a healthy family study that our national government did. Agencies, national aid, this is not church, had nothing to do with church. You know what they discovered? That families with a spiritual base are happier and healthier. Universities have done studies. And here's universities do these studies. And they've identified characteristics of a happy, healthy family. And almost every one of them say a religious element, a spiritual element. And what's so funny to me is that the government can't say anything because we got this separation of church and state. And yet all the studies and everything they show out there proclaims that there is a spiritual element to happy, healthy families. It is undeniable. And yet they don't talk about it because they got to be politically correct. And most movies, even this movie, does not portray anything about God, but it sure has some wonderful things in there that I want us to look at this morning that echo what God's word says. Interesting, as they did these surveys, there was another survey they did. 7 out of 10 people say their relationship at home, their connection at home, is one of the most important in their life. 7 out of 10 say family is important. Family is number one. Family is significant in those family connections. 7 out of 10 say that. And yet, you know what? We don't act like it. It's Mother's Day. And I really was, I thought about how to, this message and Mother's Day and tying it into Mother's Day. I really want to say this, that I think the greatest gift you can give a mother is a happy, healthy family. You know, they enjoy the phone calls. They enjoy the cards for Mother's Day. They enjoy going out for dinner like most of us are going to do today. Am I right? You know, we're going to go out for lunch and take our mothers out. You know, they enjoy all of that. But I'm going to tell you, the greatest joy you can give a mother is a happy, healthy family. They have the children, the husband, the family, united and happy and enjoying life. And that's what I want us to talk about this morning. Because I want to tie it into, we can have an incredible families. that we can have incredible families. The movie The Incredibles, made by Pixar, a great show, portrays a family of superheroes. And I want to begin with this video clip here at dinner. So I want you to watch this video clip here at dinner. Well, anybody have a dinner table like that? You know, what do you do? I mean, here's the setting of the movie. They're superheroes trying to fit into society, and they can't be who they are. They can't be the superheroes anymore, and they can't fit in. And their resume fitting in. He hates his job. His son has trouble at school. Anybody have kids like that? His daughter's got boyfriend problems. Life is a crisis. What do you do? Anybody have, life is full of crisis. There's tension in the home. How do you deal with that? That's what I want us to think about this morning as we look at that. And, you know, I watch that. I can identify with some of that. I mean, I really can, you know. Bring the newspaper to the table, you know, sit there, read the table, you know, wife, you deal with everything else, I'm going to, you know, and how do we deal with all of this? How do you deal with crises as a family? And so I want to encourage you to get your little outline out of your worship folder this morning and kind of follow along. I want to kind of tie this into God's word. How do you deal with those crises? You hate your job, there's not enough money, the kids at school, the kids are this is going on, the car broke down. I mean, you know, what do you do in the midst of crisis as a family? If you want to be a healthy, happy family, what do? Well, I'm going to begin with this. You work at communication. All right? You work at communicating. As I watched that video clip and I seen Bob bringing the newspaper to the table, you think much communication is going to go on with him? What did she ask him? Do you have to bring the newspaper to the table? Communicating. It's an art. Communication is not something that just comes natural. Communication, there's something about learning to communicate. There's a skill. There's an art to communicating. And we have to work at it. I want you to circle the word work there. How do you spell marriage? I heard this other day. How do you spell marriage? W-O-R-K. How are you going to deal with a crisis? You have to communicate. Look at what God's word says. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. There's an art to your words. There's a way to use your words, a way to speak those words. And we need to learn to communicate. What's so interesting, I don't know about you, but when I was dating Laura, we would talk on the phone for hours. Seriously, anybody have kids that do that now? Yeah. Hours, you'd sit around and about nothing. And then you get married, and I've heard it all already now. There's nothing else to be said. Yeah. Communicating. We have to work at it. You got to learn to do it. You got to strive to do it. And it just doesn't come naturally. And I think we just assume. I've seen some studies that say women talk 7 times or need to speak 7 times more than a man does. Studies have shown that the average husband and wife speak for 4 minutes a day. I thought about that this weekend. Like I said, Friday morning, I got up at 4:30, got around, did some things, ran out of the house, seen Laura for a few moments that morning. She was got up, ironed my pants for me. And I ran off Friday morning at 6 o'clock, ran home at 3, got home about 3:20, 3:30, changed clothes, said hi, threw the stuff in the van, packed a bunch of kids in there with Ernie and Jeanette and all of us, and went up to camp. Stayed at camp, got in Saturday afternoon at about 3:30 again, said hi to my wife, went in and took a nap, got up and came here to set up church. So let's say in 2 days, we may have had 4 minutes. Yeah. Anybody else kind of like that? We need to slow down in our lives and communicate. Yeah. I was driving around through the South. When I go back to see Jeremiah, And I thought about this. All these homes back there have these great big porches out front. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, great big porches out in front. Because they would all sit out in front. And what did they do? Anybody ever watch Andy Griffith? Opie and all of that? They would sit out there and talk. How many of us even sit around the dinner table like that movie and talk anymore? See, we need to slow down in our lives and start communicating. Because so much misunderstanding comes because we don't communicate. It's not even worried about miscommunication. There is no communication. And so what I wanted to challenge us with this morning is we need to communicate. And I want to be real clear here. There are all sorts of ways to communicate today. Anybody got a cell phone in here? Anybody have a cell phone? Boy, we don't have very many cell phones around here, do we? All right, now I see some hands. There's a thing on a cell phone called texting, and some of you guys are really good. My thing is I send a text and I get something back and I misspelled a word. And it's because not because I didn't know how to spell it, although those are some occasions. I'll give you that. But my thumb hit the wrong letter. Those keyboards aren't that big. I'm going to tell you, texting is okay, but it is not a communicating tool. Texting is to send out invitations and announcements and to say something. Communication involves everything. I've talked to people who text something all in capital letters. They take this whole line in capital letters. And then you tell them, why was you shouting at somebody? What do you mean? Well, when you type a capital letter, that means you're shouting at somebody. See, communication, there's body language. There's voice tone. There's all sorts of things going on. And we need to step back and realize there's an art to communicating. And we need to think about communication in our homes. We need to think about, are we taking time, misunderstanding and miscommunication? And we need to learn to communicate. But most of us, if you're like me, I communicate in front of the TV while the TV's going. Anybody else do that one? You're watching a show and during commercial, hey, oh, show's back on. Am I the only one? Come on now. Don't tell me I'm the only one. All right. I see some other hands. I see some pointing at others, too. Your kids know you well, too, don't they? Uh-huh. Uh-huh. See, we don't take communication as important as it really is. You need to communicate. You need to talk. You need to spend time. Now, I know most husbands, you go to work, you come home, you're like this guy here. It's like, I've had it. I just want my time. I need to veg for a while. Anybody? I need to slow down. You need to communicate. I can't harp on this enough. Misunderstanding. And all this happens because we don't talk about it. Look at what God's word says. The quiet words of the wise are more to be heeded than the shouts of a ruler of fools. Quiet words. Here's what I was trying to, you know, I had to like to create phrases. Calm communication helps in crisis times. Calm communication. Just slowing down and speaking and talking and conversing. You know, we get in the car and maybe you're like me. I take my iPod, put my iPhone earplugs in, and we drive down the road. I got an hour to listen. I don't have to hear the wife, right? Communication. Are we communicating? I want to ask you, are you communicating? Do you communicate more than 4 minutes a day? Are you taking time to communicate? Realizing the tone of your voice? Have you ever done this? Is anybody, you're having a crisis, you know? Maybe work sucks. Maybe the kids are struggling. You had it up to here. Dad's not listening. Mom's not listening. So you're going to treat them with the silent treatment, right? Just be silent. What's wrong? Nothing. Come on. Something wrong. No, nothing wrong. Just leave me alone. You guys are laughing because you know it's true. You treat silent. I'm not talking to them no more. He doesn't hear me anyway. He never listens. We need to think about communication. I want to challenge you. I challenge the youth are the workers, because not all of them were youth. We went and cleaned that camp up. We had a devotional that night. And it was fun because many of them were quoting some Proverbs. And I got a bunch of passages from Proverbs. Look at some of these up here. These are from Proverbs. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Our words. What's next? A wise man's heart guides his mouth, and his lips promote instruction. Comes from your heart. What else? A word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. I want to challenge you like I challenge them to read one chapter of Proverbs a day. 3 minutes at the most. Stretch it, it would be five. 28 verses, 30 verses. There's not many verses in them. One chapter a night. Starting today. And today's, it's really easy. Today's the 10th. Or the 9th. 9th? Today's the 9th. Open the Bible up. And you don't have a Bible? On the back table, Lance will give you a Bible as you go out. You want to get one. Go to Proverbs and read number 9 tonight. Tomorrow morning, get up and read number 8. When the month ends, you're going to run to the end of the book and then start reading them again. There is great wisdom about communication. There's great understanding about communication in the Proverbs, about how to listen, how to speak, how to tune in. There's something about the art of communication we have lost today. We would rather send a text message, an email, then sit down and speak to somebody. And we need to understand you've got to look eyeball to eyeball and communicate in a family. Otherwise, you're never going to get through the crisis. There's always going to be trouble. The whole movie, if you want to watch the movie, and I encourage you, I enjoyed the movie The Incredibles. The whole movie about problems with communication. All the way through the movie, it's all about he's not talking, he's got a little secret. Matter of fact, he even lies a little bit. Well, you can say he doesn't lie. At least he's going to say he didn't lie. But he did lie. You know, if you don't tell the truth, you're lying. All right? And so it's just, we got to learn to communicate. Now, see, I could have made this a real traditional kind of sermon and say, communicate and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But I want to give you some key words. Here's some key words. You might want to write these down. You might want to remember these. If you're going to communicate, here's some things that's going to happen in order for this to happen. How about forgiveness? All right, they're not going to be on the screen. I didn't put them up there because I just wrote these down as I was thinking about the message. If you do not communicate, you will never forgive. Did you know that? That silent treatment will not bring forgiveness. The silent treatment will not bring understanding. All right? Silent treatment for me ticks me off. All right? Forgiveness. If you want to forgive, you got to communicate. If you want, I put another word down. How about patience? Communication and a relationship requires patience, and you got to communicate to have that patience. Because when you're not talking, you push me to the end, don't you? How about another word I put down here? How about respect? We communicate out of respect. Another word is honor. See, I could have made this a very traditional kind of sermon and said, here's your 10 points to a happy, healthy family. But here's what I want to tell you. Those 10 points don't matter if you don't talk, okay? If you're not communicating, you're not going to find forgiveness. You're not going to have respect. You're not going to have honor. You're not going to have patience. It's not going to work. You have to communicate. It's that simple. And so I want to encourage you to communicate. And I'm going to call my mom today on the phone, but I went by Friday on the way back from Folsom. I whipped in. I didn't have much time. I'm running. I got to get back here. I got to leave for camp. I've got to pack all these kids up. Crystal got everything ready for me, but I still got to get everything and go. And it's like, oh, I don't have time for this. I went in and sat down and visited my mom and dad for about 20 minutes. I'm going to call her today, talk to her on the phone. But there's nothing like eyeball to eyeball talking and communicating. You need to communicate. You need that time. If any of this other stuff to happen, you want an incredible family? You want a happy family? Talk. Talk. And talk some more. There's something about that that makes a difference. But it doesn't end there. Because marriage is work, and it is a crisis. And matter of fact, I don't know about you, but right now it seems to be one crisis after another. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's not a crisis with the economy. It's a crisis with my job. You know, your wife's getting laid off. Anybody have that one besides me? All the stuff going on. How do you deal with those crises? You communicate, but it doesn't end. I got another video clip I want you to watch. Watch for a really, there's a really neat saying in this. I'm going to give it to you as we go through it, but watch for this little video here. And look for what Bob says in this video. I think a statement he made there is really significant. He said, "I almost missed the greatest adventure in my life." And what was that greatest adventure? Did you catch it? It was his family. He says, "I've been so busy with myself, so busy on me, so busy on wanting to be the superhero again, so busy with my job, so busy with my work, so busy with my hobbies, so busy with all of this, that I almost missed the greatest adventure, and that greatest adventure was you." And that's what I want to challenge us with as we think about family this morning. We think about Mother's Day. It's an adventure. Marriage is an adventure. Family is an adventure. It's something that you go through. It's something that you experience. And there's something about being family. And what I want to challenge you with, treat it as an adventure. Treat it as an adventure. And here's what I want you to look at. Living an adventure. We make time for my family. Again, I could go on and chase all sorts of things and talk about all sorts of things. I'm going to be real blunt here. Make time for family. Period. Not going to chase anything. Not going to do anything. Make time for family. We have these statements that we have out there today. Well, I can't give quantity, so I'm going to give quality time. I'm going to be as blunt as I can. You need both quantity and quality, okay? You can't say, well, I don't have much time, so the time I'm going to make it quality. Yeah, you need to make it quality. But you also need to have the quantity. You need to have that time as a family. You need to have that time together as a family. And I want to encourage you here. You know, most of us are busy. I'm going to read this passage of Scripture. I want you to think about what this Scripture says. Look at what it says. There is a time for everything, okay? You hear that? There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the sun. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. We're busy. I want to ask you, is there really time for everything? Would you agree with that? When the Bible says there's a time for every, is there? I think there is. The problem is, what do we do with our time? Many of us budget our money very carefully. Anybody? Watch your money real carefully. Where it goes, how you spend it. How about your time? Do you budget your time? Do you watch how you use your time? We need to be diligent with our time. I think there's 167 hours or something like 168 hours in a week. Somewhere in that range. I can't remember exactly what it's at. But what do you do with your time? And I want to challenge you. Do you have time for family? Do you? Again, I go back to when you're dating or you're courting or you're before you get married. You couldn't wait to spend time together. You wanted to be together. Matter of fact, I don't know about you, but you fought with your parents so you could be together more. Anybody else been in that boat besides me? I want to go to my girlfriend. No, you got to stay home. I want to go to my girlfriend. No, you got to stay home. Anybody else? You want to be, and then we get married, and guess what? I don't have time for her anymore. I'm busy. I got this to do and that to do. We get hobbies, and our hobbies are different. Places to go, people to see, things to do. And we get busy. I want to challenge you. Marriage and family is an adventure, and you got to make time for it. You got to work out time for it. I read these things, and I look at things, and this is one of my passions for me. Well, when I make enough money, just a little bit more money. When I retire, when the kids grow up, we'll have time. I want to tell you something. I want to make time now. Laura and I talk about this all the time. You guys always know I'm that Disney fanatic. We got our annual passes to Disneyland. I went to Disneyland in November. I went in January. I went in March. And right now, I'm planning a trip in June. All right? I'm going back. I got my annual pass. They're going to start their new water show down there. I'm taking my grandson. We've been talking about taking my grandson. I haven't talked to his mother and father yet, but we're going to take Austin with us. News for you guys to know right now. And we're going to go down to Disneyland. I enjoy it. I take my granddaughters down there, my grandkids down there. My family's been down there. Went to Disney World last year. I'm going to tell you something. You need to make time for your family. It's not about money. Well, when I retire, when I have time, make time for your family. I'm serious. You know, well, when school's out, you know, I'm on a school board, and I'm going to tell you, we need your kids in school, okay? I'm not going to beat around the bush. Your kid's not in the seat, we don't get paid. But you want to know something? I take my kids out of school. Don't tell the principals or the superintendent anything, but I want to go somewhere, I take my kids with me, my grandkids with me. They have to do homework. I have to come back and sit in the house till noon the next day while they're getting their, what do they call that? Independent study done, and then run them over to class so they can turn it in. Yeah. We need to make time and make the sacrifice for our time. Don't wait till you retire. Don't wait when it's convenient. Don't wait when it's easy. Make time for your family. I want to tell you something. You want a happy home? Have fun. Look what the scripture says. Enjoy life with your wife. Enjoy life with your wife, whom you love all the days of this meaningless life. I like this. Enjoy a meaningless life. Is that what he's sitting here saying? No. Enjoy life. Life can be meaningless if you don't enjoy it that God has given you under the sun. All your meaningless days, for this is your lot in life and in your toilsome labor under the sun. I don't know about you, but sometimes life stinks. Anybody? It's like it's just one crisis, one problem, one situation after another. And it's like, I want to say, it says enjoy. I want you to write the word fun down there somewhere. I wrote fun on mine right here on the side. I want you to write the word fun down there. I want to tell you something. It's okay to have fun. All right? It's okay to have fun. You need to have fun. You want a happy home? Have fun. Again, there was a study out of Denver, Colorado. One college in Denver, I don't know which university it was in Denver, that had a study that talked about how homes are better that are having fun. Kids do better at school. Couples have better marriages at home when you're having fun. It's okay to have fun. Life's an adventure. You need to know, I'm not going to wait till I retire to have fun. I'm already planning. Laura and I will be married 35 years next year. This is our 34th year, June the 12th. I got it right. Next year will be 35 years. And what we have tried to do in our life, in our marriage, is every 5 years we try to make a big event out of it. We went to Hawaii on our 10th and our 15th or one of those. I can't remember which number it was now. But we went to Hawaii and we took a cruise on a cruise ship, 4-day cruise ship, bottom of the boat. I'm going to tell you, here's a little trick about cruise ship. They charge you more as you go up, but the part of the boat that moves the least is at the bottom. So I stayed on the bottom. Went to Hawaii again. 35, I want to go to Disney World during the Christmas decoration time. And so right now I'm trying to work out and get everything. I'm already starting to save money, starting to get our budget right. so that I can go to Disney World after Thanksgiving and before Christmas. That's, again, a cheap time at Disney World. You need to know that. You know, you need to not watch those times. Those are good times, you know, and they got their Christmas decorations up. And I want to go see all Disney World decorated for Christmas, and I want to stay at one of the better hotels. We stayed at a nice place, really nice, but I want to stay at a different place that's right across from the Magic Kingdom. But I'm planning that already. I'm planning for a trip in 2011 to have some fun. Are you planning to have fun? See, I don't think we enjoy life enough. Here's one of the great tragedies I see. We get this image of God sitting above, created this big, beautiful world, and put us on this world to suffer. Oh, poor me. Look at my life. All this meaningless life. All this toil. Nothing to do. Oh, poor me. I wonder, did God put me here? And when God created the world, He created a great, big, beautiful garden. We called it the Garden of... Boy, you guys are really not in it. Garden of Eden, all right? And it was a beautiful place. It was a place for them to have fun and enjoy. And we messed it up with sin. But we can fix the sin problem with Jesus Christ and come back and enjoy life. See, I think we got it all messed up. I'm going to tell you, I am enjoying life. And I'm not going to wait till I retire. I'm not going to wait. We're going to buy our annual passes for Disneyland. And we're going to go down there 4, 5, 6 times a year. Doesn't cost that much when you already have your pass. And pass is cheap. Stay at the cheap hotels across the street and around the corner. Eat the breakfast that is there, the continental breakfast. I like sugar and sweets anyway. See, enjoy life. Whatever's for you. Some of you enjoy camping. I'm talking about somebody wants to go fishing in their motorhome. Whatever you got to do to enjoy life, enjoy life. Enjoy those things in your life. But again, I want to come back as I wrap this up, and I want you to think about the one thing the movie doesn't portray, Hollywood never portrays in a positive light, is the element God brings. And I've shared with you already that God put us on this earth to enjoy. That God created a great, big, beautiful world for us to experience and enjoy, and we messed it up with sin. But God solved that problem when He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. That because of Him, we can come through to Him, through Jesus, and we can deal with all that meaningless trash called sin in our life. And once we solve that problem, we can, again, begin to enjoy this life and enjoy this world. Because it's not going to be enjoyed because I make $1 million. It's going to be enjoyed because of our relationships. And the greatest relationship is with God. And number two is with our family. And so I just want to challenge you this morning. Where are you at? I got some key words again I want to throw out to you as you look at your paper. Let me turn my mind over here. If you're thinking about this, you got to have words like generosity. You got to be generous. It's not about give, 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 take, take, take. It's about being generous. How about another word I put down? I put a word selfless. It's not about me. See, I'm really blessed with Laura and the things I want to do because I like going and seeing historical sites. And like I've shared with you, we go to different places. I like going to cemeteries where my relatives are buried back in the 1800s. And Laura sits in the car. And she have her book. She'll be reading a book. Then I got to yell at her to come out and get a picture of me by the headstone. The best one, though, here was the best one. We went to where I knew my great-grandfather was buried there, and I found my great-great-grandfather was buried there. We're driving to the cemetery in Georgia, out in the backwoods of Georgia. It's raining. It's pouring rain. And it's like, man, I'm going to get there, and I can't even get out and take pictures. But as we got, anybody familiar with the South, man, the rain was gone like that. The sun is shining. The steam is coming off the road. I mean, you know, it's just, you know, here's a steam and it's beautiful out there now and the sun's shining. And we get to the cemetery and I find these headstones. And so I'm looking at them. And then I want to walk down to the corner and take some pictures of the sign where the corner's at and all this. And so I walk down to the corner. And Laura's over there by the headstones and all of a sudden I'm not there. the steam rising off the ground, and she's at a cemetery, and I walked off and left her. She still reminds me of that. That was fun, all right? Yeah. You got to have fun, but she reads her books, but she'll get out and take pictures of me. You know, I went to Anderson, Camp Anderson, that's there in the south, and I just, you know. But then, you know, for me, the thing she enjoys, my selflessness, grocery shopping. Any guys like going grocery shopping? I hate grocery shopping. Or here's one. How about going clothes looking? Yeah, come on now. This is one. You drag them clothes looking. Does this look good? Does this look good? Does this? I say no. And she goes, guess what? When she buys? The one I said no to. Any other husband have that one besides me? Don't raise your hand. I want to get you in trouble. Yeah. You got to give of yourself. You got to be selfless. It's not about you. That's that adventurous part. It's not about you. There's things I go to for Laura that I don't like, and I guarantee you, and I know there's things she does for me that she doesn't like. Because it's an adventure, and we're in this together. Now, I can go and make it miserable for her, or I can go and make it fun. I'm going to try and go and make it fun. I found, here, you want to know, you want to go clothes shopping, go to the Penny's. I think it's a Penny's in Manteca. They got a TV in the waiting area, guys. They got a big old couch and a TV screen in there. So while they're trying on clothes, you can sit there and watch TV. That's when your iPod comes in handy. You know, just put it in, lean on the rack. You got to give of yourself, okay? It's an adventure. Put selfless down there. I put traditions down there. Again, these are just my words. I left it blank because I want you to put some words in for yourself. That's why I left it blank. Laura talks about this more than I do, but having traditions for the family. These are traditions. As our kids were growing up, we had traditions. You know, on Thanksgiving, we would go to see my aunt always, and we would stop at the fish hatchery on Highway 50, and the kids would get to feed the fish, and, you know, 5 cents to get all that fish food and feed the fish. And we have traditions. One of the silly traditions for me was you go to the mall and you ride the Kiwanis golf cart around. Park way out so you can ride the golf cart and give the guy a tip. That's a tradition? Yeah, that's it. No, that's just a... Selfless, guys. I want to encourage you. It's Mother's Day, and like I said, I could have preached a regular, traditional 10 steps. Here's what you do to celebrate Mother's Day. I think the greatest thing you can give your mother today, the greatest thing to pass on, even to a mother who's passed away, is a healthy, happy family. And if that's going to happen, you're going to have to communicate, and you're going to have an adventure. And I just want to challenge you with those two things today. If you communicate, you can forgive. If you communicate, you can have respect. If you're on adventure, you can be selfless. All those things, to me, are wrapped up in those two words. Make your marriage an adventure and communicate. And you'll have a happy, healthy family. And I think that's what God says. Enjoy the life with your spouse. Enjoy the marriage. At the bottom of the page, I put it this way. That's my family. That's mine. Is it yours? Make it so. Make it so. I want to encourage you. Celebrate Mother's Day with an incredible family. It takes work, but you can do it. Let's pray.